Presenting The Sword of Fate, another in a series of radio plays based on stories featured in the American Weekly, the magazine which is distributed with all Hearst to Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. Today's drama was inspired by an unusual story, which will appear in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly magazine. It was staged and produced in the New York studios of the General Broadcasting Company. The scene of our play is the city of Rome during the year of the great Emperor Tiberius, one of the most famous Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde characters in ancient history. Tiberius can be referred to by Stevenson's descriptive title because of certain astonishing and unexplainable quirks of his character. Our story of this unusual emperor begins shortly after he had been raised to the throne of Rome. In the antechamber of the Senate, we find Tiberius preparing for the business of the day and discussing matters with his son, Darius.
So that's what they're saying about me, my son.
Yes, Father.
Do you believe them?
Of course not, Father.
Why don't you?
Because I know that you are an honorable man. Base deeds come not easily to your mind.
Darius, my son, none of us knows what we might become if circumstances were different.
That is true, Father.
Take yourself, for example. You might be on the street begging. You might even be a slave in the marketplace. But instead, you are Darius, son of Caesar Tiberius, potential ruler of the Roman Empire.
I know. One day I shall occupy the throne. Perhaps.
Perhaps? Why do you say perhaps?
Because anything might happen before that time comes, Father.
You mean it might come to pass that I might lose the throne? Oh, no, my son. Tiberius will never have to abdicate. I have great plans for Rome and for you. You shall carry on my work after I die.
Yes, Father.
Why, you are all I have to live for.
Yes, Father.
And now I must look over the scrolls and see what affairs of state come before the Senate today. General Gratius will be here presently.
You rely on his judgment a great deal, don't you, Father?
Certainly. Gratius is not only a great soldier, he is also a brilliant statesman. My son, heed these words. An emperor is great only by virtue of the character of his advisers.
You mean I must choose only the most brilliant men for my staff?
I do.
You are a brilliant man yourself, Father.
Not at all. I am a practical man.
Hail, Caesar Tiberius.
Gratius, welcome. I have been expecting you. Come here.
The Senate is assembled, sir. Oh, good day, Darius.
Good day, General Gratius.
Let the Senate wait. I see here there is a motion to have the name of the month of September changed to my name, Tiberius.
Yes, the senators wish to honor their emperor and make his name immortal.
Flattery, Gratius. Pure flattery, and you know it.
Perhaps, but I think they are sincere.
I will have none of it. Next to flattery, I hate these so-called honors. I have here a proposal I have drawn up to reduce taxes and cut government expenses. These are measures with which the Senate should be concerned, and so I shall proclaim today.
And if they are passed, you will earn the eternal gratitude of the people.
Then let that be my monument. Far better to have the goodwill of the people than all the statues and temples they can erect.
Ah, you are a great and wise ruler, O Tiberius.
By the god. We shall now proceed to the Senate, so that they may hear my proclamation. Come, Gratius.
I am with you, sir.
You too, Darius. This will be a good lesson for you.
Yes, Father.
Rome is indeed fortunate, Darius. Never in her history has she had such an unselfish and good emperor as your father.
I think it's folly, this fanatical idea of his. Now that Father has attained a position where he may have honors and ceremonies, he rejects them.
Stop those trumpet calls. Stop them, I say. Gratius,
sir.
How many times must I declare I care not for all this pomp and foolish ceremony?
The trumpets will not blare again, sir. I myself shall attend to it.
Good. Darius, remain here with Gratius while I go forth and address the Senate.
Your father is a man to be heeded, Darius.
My fellow countrymen, it is stated that you wish to do me honor. Is my integrity in question when I declare against honors and dignities? Now you propose to change the name of September in my honor. Senators, know you this. My will remains unchanged, and so must the name of September. If you wish to do me honor me by doing your part in governing this great and glorious empire. I have given you back your full powers. Use them for the good of the people. I believe in speaking my mind. Misrule in the provinces must end.
great and upright man.
A foolish man.
May the gods grant he lives for many years.
I hope so. Then I shan't have to follow his horribly high example.
Why, you surprise me, Darius. Your father would be deeply grieved to hear you speak like this.
I dare say.
He has great plans for your future.
I know. He's always talking about them. His plans for my future. He never stops to think that I might have plans myself.
Darius!
Well, it's the truth.
Darius, you must never let your father hear such words from your lips. I fear even to think what effect they might have upon him.
13 years later, Darius died and Tiberius became a changed man. He left Rome and retired to the island of Capri. There he suddenly gave vent to all the vices he had so long publicly fought to suppress. Tiberius left all his advisors and friends behind him, including Gratius. We now hear Medea, Gratius' fair daughter, speaking as her father sits brooding and looking toward the island where his self-imprisoned chief is.
Father, I came upon your sword today. See, it is badly in need of polishing. May I not restore its luster?
Well, if it pleases you. I have no need for it now.
You must not speak so, Father. One day the Emperor Tiberius will come back to Rome.
No, my dear Medea. The Caesar Tiberius we knew and loved will never come back.
People do say the death of Darius was the cause of the change in him. Is that true?
I think so, daughter. When Darius died, all interest in life went out from Tiberius.
Now he is isolated on the beautiful island of Capri.
Well, the island may be beautiful, Medea, but the life on it is far from lovely.
What do you mean, Father?
Reports have come back that our great and good emperor is never sober. Why, they call him Tiberius as a nickname.
It may not be true.
Ah, but it is. He who once was kind is now the most cruel monster of all history. None know if cruelty and death await them at Capri.
But surely the emperor would not torture women, Father.
Think you not? Why, my child, he lures beautiful women to his palace, that he may mistreat them and slay them. One of his favorite pleasures is burning a woman's flesh with a red-hot iron.
Oh, no.
He especially delights in torturing beautiful young girls like you. Those who beg for life are slain, but those who beg for death are mistreated to the utmost. Then they are tossed into the bay.
Are you certain of this, Father?
Yes, Medea. I have heard stories which cannot be disbelieved.
The emperor sends for a person, it means death.
And even worse than death.
But his invitation is a command, is it not?
Yes, and his commands must still be obeyed.
Father, if he were to send for you, would you go to him?
No.
But if he sent messengers to bring you?
They would never take me there alive.
Farewell, Father.
Farewell? Where are you going, Medea?
To my room.
Now, must you be so formal? By the gods, one would think you were going on a long journey.
Perhaps I am.
Not until your purse is fattened with coins. Run along, my daughter, run along.
I go, Father. Farewell.
Farewell. Oh, Caesar Tiberius, what has come over you? What has caused this great change in you?
Master! Oh, Master, come quickly.
Well, what is it? What has happened?
Oh, Master, your daughter has taken her life with your sword.
Taken her life? Why? Why has she done this terrible thing?
We do not know. She had everything to live for. Only today she received a summons to visit the Emperor.
Oh, Medea, my child, Medea.
3 times Tiberius left Capri on a visit to Rome, and twice he turned back in fear of his life. But the third time he managed to reach his former capital. He sent for his old commander-in-chief, and Gratius obeyed the summons. It is the night before Tiberius is returning to Capri, and he is well in his cup.
Gratius! Gratius, you old fool, where are you?
Here, sir.
Good. You better be. You're all I have to rely on now, the only one I can trust. You must never leave me, understand?
I shall never leave you, sir.
Good. Gratius, it is the third time I've left Capri for Rome. Twice I've turned back before I reached here. You know why?
No, sir.
Because my astrologer, Priscillus, read the stars and warned me never to come to Rome or I should die. But this time I've made up my mind to come, and here I am.
Yes, sir.
And the only thing that's happened to me has been that scroll with the message that I would die at the 12th hour. What is the time, Gratius?
Nearing the 12th hour, sir.
Nothing's happened yet.
No, sir.
And I have guards posted at all the entrances to the palace. All the doors are barred from the inside. Nobody can get to me, can they?
You are too strongly guarded for anyone to break in, sir.
Yes. Here we are. You and I in the very center of the palace.
Yes, sir.
And somebody's threatened to kill me. Yes, yes, kill me. Emperor Tiberius, surrounded by a guard of picked legionaries. and personally protected by General Grant, is the best swordsman in all Rome. You are you not, Gratius?
Some have said so, sir.
You're old Gratius. Trustworthy old Gratius. I knew you'd come and protect me. That's why I sent for you. You haven't heard anybody about the quarters, have you?
No, sir.
But somebody threatened to kill me, did he not?
According to the note, sir, you are to die at the 12th hour.
Hmm. What time is it now?
Why, nearly the 12th hour, sir.
Gratius?
Yes, sir.
You're sure nobody can break in here?
Nobody can break in, sir.
And you're sure there's nobody in the quarters but you and me?
There is no one here but you and me, sir.
Good. Of course, I do not believe the message, you understand, but it makes me feel better to hear you say those things. It's near the 12th hour, you say.
Almost, sir.
And it won't be long now before it'll be all over and I can return to Capri.
No, sir, it won't be long now.
Well, let's drink to the 12th hour. You don't text your wife.
Well, I thought it best not to, under the circumstances, sir.
I knew I could depend on you, Gratius. I shall now go and look at the hourglass. Gratius!
Sir.
It is the 12th hour.
It is, Tiberius. The hour has come.
It's the 12th hour and... Gratius, put up your sword. There's no need of it.
Think you not?
Gratius, have you gone mad? Put up your sword.
Not until I have done my duty.
Gratius, stand back. Oh, God, God.
Call, Tiberius, call for your guards. Call until your throat burst. They'll not heed you.
God, God, God.
Call. Beat upon the door. Beat until the bones pierce through the flesh. It will avail you nothing.
Gratius, have you gone mad? Has the suspense and terror of that unsigned scroll turned your brain?
Why should it turn my brain? I know who wrote it.
You know? Gratius, it was not you.
Yes, it was I.
Why? Why?
We're attempting. I am not attempting. I am doing.
Wait, Gratius. Wait, have mercy.
Have mercy. Wait. Did you wait? Did you have mercy on the hundreds of innocent women and children that you tortured and killed?
I never harmed you, Gratius.
Never harmed me, eh, Caesar Tiberius? You harmed me in the most dastardly fashion possible. You sent for your messengers for my daughter.
But they came back without her.
Because she took her own life rather than risk what you had in store for her.
Gratius, Gratius, spare me, have mercy.
You see this sword? It's the one I wore so many years in your service. The one my daughter slew herself with. And it shall be the same
Gratius,
weapon
Gratius,
with which I avenge her death and the death of so many others. Caesar Tiberius, your hour has come. Thus do I free Rome.
Excavator spades are now uncovering the ruins of the great villa of Emperor Tiberius on the island of Capri, and it is hoped that they will also disclose why he changed from a just and upright man to a beast of cruelty and self-indulgence. Be sure to read the interesting details of this strange emperor under the title Searching the Ruins of the Villa of Tiberius, the Tyrant Roman Emperor. The story appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly Magazine, the magazine which is distributed to all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. Presenting The Knight, another in a series of radio plays based on stories featured in the American Weekly, the magazine which is distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. The Knife was produced in the New York studios of the General Broadcasting Company. Clarksburg is a small and peaceful community. It is seldom that the lives of the good people who live there are upset by such violent disturbances as murder, but almost every place, however small, has its tragedies of human passion, sooner or later. And not long ago, a murder, unexpected and mysterious,